As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Hello, Athletic NBA Show listeners. I'm Dave DeFore. I wanted to share some exciting news. The NBA Daily Ding is moving permanently to the Athletic NBA Show feed. That's right. Monday through Friday, you're going to be able to catch up on all of the previous night's action in the time it takes to make coffee. Fancy coffee. So join me, Andrew Schleck, Trevon Edwards, Keith Parrish, Jared Weiss, our special guests, and your favorite Athletic beat writers as we break down the previous night's action and all of the news from the day before. Your friends are going to think you're a basketball genius. Be sure to tell them why, though. Make sure you check us out Monday through Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for the NBA Daily Ding.
Well, I wish I'd have known. That would have helped, you know, so.
If you'll reflect on it live,
yeah.
You'll get your 1,000th career win at home in Chicago.
Yeah, that's the neat part. And honestly, I had no idea that I was at 999. I don't count. That's not why I do it. And basically, winning, getting this 1,000th win, being shorthanded, being in Chicago means a lot. And it also means I'm very...
Cut! Oh, come on, guys. We've got one shot at this. Where's James?
You ready to go, LeBron? Where's the powder?
James!
Just remember.
James!
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Bruh. New York strip steak? Ooh!
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite Athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Marcus Thompson. We got Mo Dakhil. And we've got a hell of a show for you. Robert Sarver in trouble. Neil O'Shea in trouble. Sixers not in trouble. What else are we going to talk about? The Warriors. We'll get a Warriors update from Marcus Thompson, maybe a book plug or two. We'll talk about the Lakers and their latest demise. Plus, we'll give you a surprise team, either good or bad, by the end of the show. That's what we call anywhere from a 30 to 45 minute tease right there in the business. All right, guys. As we know, the NBA season is upon us. We're like 3 weeks in, which means time for a scandal. And so ESPN has reported a very extensive story, 17 years of Robert Sarver allegedly using some racist language, some sexual harassment, some just bad, toxic work environments. There's a story of him using the N-word with Earl Watson. Earl Watson put his name on that story. There's stories of him pantsing someone at an ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, which sounds like a Mad Libs. There's stories of just up and down of all kinds of these, you know, these really heinous work environment stuff. Sarver has denied pretty much everything except the pantsing. I think that's the only thing where he's like, yeah, sorry, I did that. Everyone laughed, though, so it's good. I think he didn't deny a story about joking around with Taylor Griffin, Blake Griffin's brother, about shaving his testicles. and what that's done for his sex life with his wife. He didn't deny passing a picture of his wife in a bikini around, in which he was saying that he was just using it for like, hey, here's a potential sponsor in a catalog. Call them if you want, but this is what the bikini looks like. Like, it's just, it was a lot of weird over explanations. And so, look, I don't, there's no like smoking gun on this other than Earl Watson puts his name on it. Corliss Williamson puts his name on it. Someone else in the business department, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, they put their name on it, and everything else is anonymous sourcing. And there's some, like, obviously the racial stuff's very serious. They're like, the thing that maybe hit me the most, Marcus, is the idea that, you know, it was anonymous sourcing, but that people were, you know, there were women like contemplating suicide, or at least one woman contemplating like suicide. She was so miserable with the work environment and stuff. And that's when I'm like, look, not that any of this stuff is okay if it's true, but when you have that kind of impact on something, you know, that it just takes it to obviously a much darker level. And so the NBA is investigating. We'll see where that goes. But Marcus, how did you digest this story, the denials by Sarver and the Suns? I think the Suns have put out like, no shit, like 9 statements since before the article came out, denying whatever would be in there and then denying whatever was in there. So Marcus, how do you digest this Robert Sarver story?
I find myself surprised, even though I know I shouldn't be. It's still like, it's like gasping at the scary part of a movie that you know is coming. Like, this stuff isn't surprising that people behave this way, that people feel so like entitled that, you know, they could behave this way. Is there's nothing like there's no breaking news in the fact that a rich governor of a team, you know, thinks he could just do whatever he wants. Like, that's not actually news in this sense. But still, reading the details and the collection of anecdotes, It's still something like wow about it. There's still like a craziness to it that this somebody is really functioning this way. I'm with you. Like, there isn't the smoking gun you expected, right? And we already have a precedent with Donald Sterling, so I kept waiting for that. Oh, he's done moment. Oh, this is it. He's done. Like, the evidence, the video, the pictures, whatever. Right. But it just, that part wasn't there, which was a bit disappointing, I would say, because people like that should, you know, I want the smoking gun, because I'd rather you not be a part of this industry if that's how you roll. So I kind of was disappointed in that element. But shout out to Earl Watson, man, because he was a G. Corliss Williamson, a renowned G. They put their name on it. They did dunk. They didn't duck it. And they gave a voice to the people who've been abused and disrespected and treated like crap and disenfranchised, and I got a lot of respect for them for doing that.
Yeah, Trey, with this thing, you know, I don't expect, unless the NBA uncovers something in their investigation that is the smoking gun of like, here's video of him saying this stuff, here's video of him acting a way that is not okay, I don't expect them. I would be shocked if it resulted in the loss of the franchise in which he was forced to sell. I think maybe we'll get a maximum fine, which I can't raise, either $5 or $10 million, something like that. We might see a suspension away from the team. He's not allowed to be around the team for a year or two. But I don't think it's going to be a Donald Sterling situation. I don't see that happening at all based on what's there. So if that's the case, then what? Like, what, like, how do you expect players to act in this, you know, or react in this? Like, what do you think comes after that?
I mean, you have the former players president on basically playing for you. And it's kind of crazy that, you know, Chris Paul has to go through 2 terms of this, but, still, like you mentioned, there's nothing, I guess, right as of now, nothing like no evidence outside of word of mouth. And I think the biggest thing would probably be a fine or a separation from the team, but he's going to remain the owner of the Suns, you know, like moving forward. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's interesting to kind of pull back the lens on it, but I think they're going to still play, you know, and continue to do what they do. Like Monty Williams said, like, if this happened on his watch, he probably wouldn't be there. And, you know, he's going to continue to keep his guys focused and, you know, handle this on the off season, I feel, if anything. But I don't think it's going to be a full distraction right now, because guys want to play and they're doing it for the fans and not only for themselves. So I think this is just kind of like something that they really want to move on from, but still acknowledge.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I this is going to be a long investigation. This is like the reason, I mean, Mo, you remember this, like the reason there was so much, you know, so quick of action with Adam Silver was a few reasons. But one, the other owners hated Donald Sterling. I don't get the sense that they hate Robert Sarver or dislike him, especially not in that way. Two, they were about to lose a playoff game or two. Right. Like there was that was about to be
we ain't going for this.
Yeah. Exactly. Players were like, no, we're going to boycott this thing or we're going to walk out or something. And so we don't have that here. And so I don't think this is going to I think I'd be shocked if we have any kind of update before 2022.
I mean, just even the reaction first game back, right? Like the Clippers, when we had that, it was we were going into game four against the Warriors, and the guys were wearing the shooting shirts inside out. You know, everybody had a black band around their arms to kind of protest this a little bit. And then obviously game five, there was that real threat of full on, we're not coming out to play type deal.
Yeah, so, they were like, we're not playing.
And the Warriors were in on it. And, you know, we've seen it before. We saw it in the bubble, right? Like once one team kind of stands up, the other team sort of back them up. So I think the NBA, the big thing was they were going to lose bottom line dollars. That was the thing. And the other NBA owners didn't care if the Clippers were just going to lose money. But as soon as it was like, oh, you're going to hurt my pockets as well with this? Yo, he's got to go. Because the story of Sterling being racist was not new. We all knew this. I knew this in 2006 when I started working there as an intern.
Yeah, it was in court judgments. Like, yo, this dude's a slumlord and he's not allowing black and brown people, you know, certain things, certain basic rights.
He was a particular slumlord for a certain group of people.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, and his misogynistic habits showed up in there as well. So all of this was there. So it's like, and you guys, we've all said it. The most important thing was there was the smoking gun. Right. There's an audio recording of him using the word and just kind of everything he was saying. It's just so different with Sarver. I look at the Sarver situation more kind of like the Mark Cuban situation with the sexual harassment stuff in his offices, you know, and I think most likely I don't even think he'll get banned a year, Zach, whenever they come back.
Yeah.
You know, I think they suspended Cuban for what, like a game or two? And I felt like that had more. You know, that had police reports, that had others, stuff, you know, so it's I don't know really what's going to come of it with Sarver unless something else gets uncovered.
That's the element of this thing that we got to remember, like the people who would have to discipline Sarver are the other owners. Right. And even when they had the audio, right, even when it was clear Sterling was wild, you had like owners like Cuban, like, hold on, do we really want to set this precedent? Like, yeah. So like it took that. It took like players walking out of a playoff game or threatening to. It took audio evidence. It took like a dude they kind of didn't want their miss anyway. And they still were like, do we want to set this precedent? What happens if it's us? So that's the bar we're talking about. Like it's not like about how wrong or how right he is. It's about the other 29 owners agreeing to a standard to oust one of themselves. And whatever they do in this situation becomes fair game for the next time it's somebody else. And you know that's what they're thinking about.
We can move on to another potential scandal here.
One question. Yeah. When was the last time somebody found pantsing somebody funny? Like maybe like in elementary school, like what?
Yeah, like I think of.
I don't know for high school that was roughly 20 years ago.
Yeah, like, what? I'm just saying it's not what even. What is pantsing? I don't know what that is.
Pulling down somebody's pants in front of a crowd.
Like
you just pull somebody's pants down unnowingly, like they're not.
Yeah, you like standing behind them.
Oh, boom. People do that.
Yeah, that was like a thing. That was a part of hazing for freshmen when I was back in high school. So, you know, but they would do it, and you didn't know if they were wearing underwear. We didn't know what's under there.
What was going on? Yeah.
So when you
might be going commando.
You don't even know what's popping. So you just getting a whole surprise, and you know it's just kind of totally to embarrass somebody. But in this climate in 2021, that's not flying at all, ever.
I mean, I pants my wife before in the kitchen. Like, I've done
Zach, move on, please. Sorry. I'm sorry I brought that up. Sorry. Yeah, it's my fault. Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. By the way, Trey's saying you get a whole surprise. Like, that's got a lot of phrasing issues there on that.
Yeah, where are you pantsing people? Like, on a set of, like, are you with Dirk Diggler? Like, who's not wearing underwear out here? This is crazy.
That would happen at school. You never know what some of these nasty kids are doing. You know, like, you don't know what's going on. I'm with Trey. Like, that was a 20-year-ago, like, high school situation for sure. For sure, that's what it was. I definitely remember that happening back. And I went to all boys high school, so it was just there was a lot of repression there and stuff. All right, let's move on to another potential scandal. We got news from the Trailblazers earlier this week that they are investigating the workplace environment of Neil Olshey. Apparently, there have been some I don't know if harassment's the right word. It's like toxic. It's bullying potentially. These are kind of the things being thrown around. We don't have, as of recording, we don't have the incident that has sparked all this, but the Blazers are investigating their own workplace because of some accusations not yet revealed about Neil Olshey. I'm noticing a trend here. First, I thought it was a Chris Paul thing because, Donald Sterling and then Robert Sarver, but Mo worked for the Clippers back then. Mo has worked for Neil Olshey before. Maybe it's a Mo Dakhil thing. So maybe we need to be careful on this podcast of what happens. But Mo, you man, see this
that's
story.
Out of pocket, yeah.
You see right. this story. Right. Mo, you see this story come up. And again, like, we're in the dark, so I don't want to spend too much time on it speculating. But we're in the dark on this. Like, when you see that come up, what's your reaction?
I mean, it's tough because, like, I look at it and I go, having worked with Neil, now I've never experienced it when I was with the Clippers or anything like that. But I could kind of see possibly something happening in terms of it just being a little bit of a tough work environment, a little bit stressful. I could see also, him making jokes that go the wrong way, and just cracking jokes on somebody and things like that. So I without knowing anything, it wouldn't shock me either way if this is just like, hey, he made some jokes and somebody got offended, or this was like heavier, more serious, real toxic work environment type thing. And I just want to note, it's been over like 8 years since I've been in the NBA, so I don't have that much to do with this, Zach, as much as you're trying to pin.
And yet you're right in the news, Mo. Let's see. this is an excerpt from Jason Quick's article kind of priming this thing. Quote, Olshey swears a lot, he rants often, and he has little patience for incompetence. Catch him at the wrong time, and all three of these traits can manifest into a red-faced, vein-popping tornado of anger. For the past 10 years, the norm around the Trailblazers has been to check the Olshey weather forecast. Bad mood, best to steer clear of the storm, and then a quote from a former employee, he will talk to you however he wants and treat you however he wants. People literally avoid walking his way in the office. Now, I don't want to be flippant about this. I don't want to, like, say this isn't a big deal. I think the shocking thing to me, and maybe this is just a part of sports that is getting ironed out, is when I see that without knowing what the incidents are, to me, my reaction was like, yeah, sounds like pro sports. And I don't know, like, I don't know if that makes it okay, but Marcus, like, absent of what that incident is until we get more from the investigation and the reporting on this, I kind of just like shrug. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what we do with this. We note it and then I guess move on until we get more. But like, I did, like, my reaction was just like, yeah, sounds like a pro sports team to me.
Only problem is, like, the front office is actually not pro sports and they need to not act like it. It's a corporate environment. Like,
that's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
You can't go acting like it's a locker room in there. Right. But you know what I thought immediately, Zach? I was like, oh, I don't know if this is true at all. This is just my little mind, but I'm thinking, oh man, Robert Sarver is not going down easy.
Oh, you think he's just diving people out? We got a Washington football team situation.
This is Sarver on the stand, like Nino Brown.
Think of that. Yeah.
Look, this ain't even a report. This is Portland self-snitching. Like, why now? This is so rad. I'm like, yo, this Sarver is like, yo, I'm taking all y'all down with me. The whole project is coming down.
We won't have enough owners for the NBA at that point.
Right.
If this is a deep thing. To me, the other thing I thought, too, though, was like, they're just trying to find cause to fire Neil Olshay.
Yes, yeah, I thought that as well. That's a good point, because that has been very contentious over the last year or two.
Do you think that because he, after the Chauncey hire that was kind of botched, that wasn't enough?
I don't know. I mean, this is what I think is, like, once Dame starts saying, oh yeah, I'm Rip City till I die, and he's rapping about it and everything, and then this comes out later, I'm like, oh, someone's trying to appease Dame if he's not too happy, because it didn't sound like he was too happy with the direction of this organization.
Yeah, and then also, like, didn't Neil sign an extension relatively recently? This is a way of trying to fire him and not have to pay him, maybe, you know, in terms of cause and you've created a bad work environment and things like that. I think that might be their way of trying to get out of paying Neil and firing him at the same time.
But why? I don't understand why they did this. This is like, you know how in college where a school will announce an investigation to, like, curb what the NCAA is going to do, right? Like, some dirt's about to come out. That's the part that is kind of throwing me for a loop. Not only are they doing an investigation, why are they announcing it? It would be one thing if, like, Jason Quick, like, did some digging, being a great reporter, and came up with it. These dudes, like, self-snitched in public, and they could have did this investigation privately and then came with the results.
No, I think you're right. I think this is someone's trying to get this dude out of here situation. Which, yeah, like, after the whole, like, the way, even just the optics of the press conference for Chauncey Billups, right?
Right.
Just that, and the way he seemed to be like, yeah, that's an in-house thing. Like, you don't need to know how we did our investigation. You don't need to do this, which may be true, but we never get that. We never get that kind of defiance and the whole, like, botch PR thing of not allowing Jason Quick to ask a very reasonable question. Maybe that's
just
the case.
So fireable to me. I'm sorry. Like, that's like, hey, get him up out of here. This is enough.
Maybe you're right on this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
All right, let's get to some real basketball. We're going to do this. We have Marcus Thompson covers the Warriors. He's also written three books about the NBA, two of which I own. Golden, about Steph Curry. The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. We've got KD. What's that one called, Marcus?
The Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest.
Yes.
Hey, Trey, I need your address so I can send you a signed copy of the book.
I swear to God. But I'll send it again.
Yeah. I guess I have to send mine again, too.
I know you sent it, but I just needed to jab Zach in that way.
Marcus, do you need mine?
No, he's good. This is the new book is Dynasties.
The answer. I didn't get the yes. Yes, Mo, I need your... Zach, you shady.
Dynasties and 10 GOAT teams franchise. What is it? It's a lot of long titles. We talked about this on the radio this morning. Like, you've got some long ass titles.
Dude, I 1000% agree with you. Like, so, like, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry is kind of, like, I get it in that sense, right? It's almost a bit perfect in that way. Mm-hmm. But, like, the KD, the answer is like, all right. You know, now you're pushing the boundaries. And this one is just wild, you know. It's just like, they just put a paragraph afterwards. But I'm telling you, this must be the new trend. I must have started a new trend, because after we talked about this on the radio, I went to my bookshelf, and you're right. Like, the OG legendary books, they don't have all the words.
But the new titles,
it's like a million words. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't choose the title, but I'm with you on it.
The great
paragraph afterwards.
the great David Halberstam book, right? The Breaks of the Game. Two of those words are barely words of the, those don't count. Like, you just look at Breaks Game. That you're just looking for the bold things, right?
I mean, I said this to you, and then I went and looked at my bookshelf, and I'm like, yo, this just popped off in like 2010, where 2015 with these hella long titles. They're like, what the heck happened, right? Yeah, like,
Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever, which I'm sure you can get in bookstores everywhere. But before I get your take on the Golden State Warriors, Trey, are you considering the Warriors contenders already before we even see what Klay Thompson looks like? Because they are playing unbelievable basketball to start this season.
Contenders is such a, it's like saying classic for an album. I won't say that C word. So I think they're looking really good. I think that bringing Andre back was great because now, like, you know, as mentioned, he's already talking to Jordan Poole about coming back to the bench and, you know, sacrificing for the team. And I think they have the right guys in the locker room to help, you know what I mean? And then also with Klay coming back, I think Klay gonna do his thing, you know? But they're rolling, man, and guys starting to know their roles and they're competing hard. But I don't know, man. I don't really want to drink the Kool-Aid and just say yes. So I'm going to push back and say no, but they're looking really good.
Yeah, the West, I think what makes it look better for them is the West is kind of off to a slow start, right? Lakers look like trash, which we'll get into in a little bit. The Suns haven't looked great coming out of the gate. Utah is Utah, but you're going to question them until they've proven the playoffs. And so the Warriors, Mo, I think like their schedule has been actually kind of weak so far. But they're dominating so much in those games that's what contenders look like, right? Like they like, oh, got a weak opponent. Let's smash them. Like, I think that's the reason, like, I'm kind of buying it more than I would based on who they've played.
Yeah. Like they're doing what they're supposed to do, right? Beating the teams they're supposed to beat and doing it by a wide margin. So that makes sense. But I'm kind of with Trey and just like, I don't want to call them contenders until we see what Klay looks like. Cause that's what would make them a contender. You know, and you're right in that the West is so weird this year that it probably could just be considered contenders with just how the fact nobody's really kind of looked great in the Western Conference besides them and Utah. But when Klay comes back, it's just he's coming back from not playing basketball in 2 years. And then when it's an Achilles injury, it just there tends to be other injuries the following season. Even KD yesterday came back. Last year came back, looked great when he was on the court. But wasn't on the court a lot. Hamstrings, knee soreness, things like that. Like your body is trying to adjust to the Achilles injury itself and how to respond to it now. And I'm not sure we're going to get a great look at Klay in terms of just feeling like we're going to get a great season out of Klay just because of that, or it's going to take a long while. So for me, that's why I don't think they're going to be contenders by the time everything rolls around.
Jazz fans would hate this podcast, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We just dismiss them constantly.
We're not going to care until playoffs. Like, let's just be honest.
Yeah, I put them in the power rankings that are coming out today on Monday as we're recording this on a Sunday. But I put that, I was like, look, I get you guys are mad that they're not in the contenders tier. But, like, I don't, aside from a major move, they're in that mode of, like, I got to see it in the playoffs. And that's frustrating because there's nothing you could do to prove that until then, right? There's literally nothing they can do. Whereas Marcus, the Warriors, they have a couple of guys who have proven it before and then a bunch of dudes that are just on the roster but look very competent and a part of the system. And I'm just like, yeah, you guys look like contenders to me.
Including one, Jordan Poole. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
No, I'm with Trey mostly because, like, you know, as someone who's covered the Warriors for a long time, I just automatically have this defense mechanism up. Like, you're a homer if you say it right. But I do think – I think both things are true. I think they're better than a lot of people thought without Klay and Wiseman. I think they're hovering around – 4, 5, 6, and I think if everything clicks well, they could really surprise some people. I just don't think we've seen that yet.
I think they've beat some teams that they should beat. They've got this nice home run, and they're a good team. So you just have to deal with them. But Steph is not playing that well yet. I'm not sure this defense is as good as it is.
Whoa, like they're the top defense in the league. Hold on a second. What do you mean? I'm not sure.
Man, they just have a lot of they look exceptional on defense, and I just wonder if they're you could be a top 10 defense and still be a great defense, but right now they're just shutting people completely down, and it's like it's just hard to believe right now. It just seems weird. They're starting Steph and Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, Looney and Draymond, right? Like, does that just sound like the lights out defensive unit? They're bringing in Otto Porter, Nemanja Bjelica. Like, where are these dramatic defenders at? Right?
Lee,
where are these
right, yeah.
Yeah, like somehow they're like 38-year-old
Andre Iguodala,
who's like totally rejuvenated by Bay Area water, because he looks really good.
Is that what it is? The water in the Bay Area?
It's got to be something about the A. Maybe something else in the Bay. But I do think they're really good. And to me, this is important because it just takes the panic away from Harry and Clay back. Because Mo's right. Like, it all hinges on Clay. Mm-hmm. And it all hinges on Clay being at a certain level. Like, you know, like, you got to be 80% Clay. They're legit, right? But you kind of got to make sure that happens. And you this dude ain't played since June of 2019. That's a long time to be out. So the winning now and racking up these wins against these teams who are beatable, but you got to play well to beat them, is a good thing, because now they can kind of be patient with Clay and not just rush him in here. Because if they were right now like 5-5 or whatever, right, you know, if they were looking like the Lakers, Clay might be playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be out there posted in the corner, right?
Yo, there was nothing
funnier.
Now it's
like, yo, take your time, Clay.
Him in his regular-ass clothes doing an exercise bike interview was so funny. It was so perfectly Clay Thompson. Like, he wasn't in workout gear. He was in his clothes.
And he was, and the crazy part is, he was more entertaining than just about anybody they can put on the air, right?
Right.
Like,
of course.
Just put that dude on a workout bike, and he's kind of paying attention to what they're saying, but he's really watching the game. So when something happens, he's like commenting on the game and it's all very natural. Like, the dude, he just falls into greatness accidentally. It's
the TV feed
incredible.
The TV feed should just have Clay mic'd up and just randomly check in.
Even when he's playing.
Yeah.
Even when he's playing.
Just see what's being said.
Can we clear the air about something, though, Mo? Rock with me on this.
Okay.
Giannis, the improbable rise of an NBA MVP. That's not crazy, but, you know, it's the same format. Title and then the follow-up.
I'm with you on this.
Blood in the garden. Our guy Chris Herring. Blood in the garden. The flagrant history of the 1990s New York Knicks. That's pretty long.
Titles now need a synopsis? Like, this is a this is what you're about to read?
The victory machine. The making and unmaking of the Warriors dynasty. Our guy Ethan. They all following golden model. Oh, what about Seth Partnow? The mid-range theory. Basketball's evolution in the age of analytics. I'm telling you, man. Maybe I started something with golden.
Is that what you wanted? You wanted to hear that you started the trend? Is that why you threw it to me?
No, he just doesn't like the slander that I'm throwing his way for.
No, I fully agree with you on this. When the KD one to me was the one where it's like, come on, y'all, what are y'all doing? Like, Kevin Durant's relentless pursuit to me. You're like, come on, can we do something about this? Like,
what about
just call
this?
It KD.
What about this by my guy Alex Wong, just called Cover Story, and it's telling NBA history through like slam cover stories. It's just called Cover Story.
There's some other words on the cover.
But yeah, if I say, oh, cover story by Alex Wong, people are going to know what I'm talking about.
If you say Dynasty is about Marcus Thompson, then people will know what you're talking about.
Hopefully. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't know that what was I'm talking about. I wouldn't know what I'm talking about because I don't still have the damn book yet. You know?
That was a premature brag. My bad. Let's see.
You relax a little bit. The one thing I'm not buying with the Warriors, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. On the Warriors defense, they're the best defensive rebounding team in the league. And I don't know that personnel lines up for me. Maybe I'm wrong on that, But it's crazy to me that they're the best defensive rebounding team in the league.
I actually buy that. That I do buy that because, number one, everybody's shooting a ton of threes. Everybody's so perimeter-oriented. They actually have really good rebounding guards. I mean, Steph is averaging 7.5 rebounds. Like, they have – the wings is where they have always had the defense, the length, right, and the rebounding. So you got – guys like Andre, they were talking about how Andre never misses a box out. He boxes out every single time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Andrew Wiggins, who probably doesn't rebound enough, but he's just 6'8", so probably they'll just fall to him. They just got to – they do the whole, we know we don't have a center. We know we don't have like that guy, so we all got to do it. And when you got Steph crashing the boards, right, when you got these OGs – out here, like, doing, like, fundamental stuff and doing the hustle stuff, it's hard not to kind of replicate that. Like, that's the one thing I actually believe in. But they also, everybody's shooting threes, man. The rebounds are out. The ball is spraying. It's not like you just stand under the rim and get them. Like, you're getting a lot of long rebounds. The corner threes, like, that doesn't produce a rebound by the rim, right? So,
right.
I do feel like that's where your guards come into play. To me, it's like the field goal percentage they hold teams to, and how they just they really can shut. They can turn the spigot off in a way that they used to be able to do when they would go with that def lineup, and they haven't been able to do it. We haven't seen that in a long time. I don't think the D'Angelo Russell Warriors could do that.
Yeah, I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder powerhouse offense is tough to stop, right? Like, I mean,
you
like
know what I'm saying? Like, man,
hey, that's Russ.
Don't we'll sleep though. Shea will cook you. Shea will cook you, but that's probably about it.
But, I mean, you know, so I think there's some of that. I'm actually with Marcus on that. I think the defensive rebounding is real because they're just doing a great job of gang rebounding, which is what Marcus was saying. All five guys are there defensively in to get the rebound and then get out and get into transition right away. So I think that's the real thing. But the defense is, I want to see it when they play real competition, like actual tougher teams that are rolling. Like that's it's easy to piggyback these numbers right now based on the teams you're playing. I mean, Charlotte's struggling right now on their West Coast swing. New Orleans without Zion. Like, yeah, where's the offense coming from on that team? And no Brandon Ingram. So like they're looking good. They're doing their job. But we also got to kind of like, let's see how it plays out.
Yeah. All right. Do you guys know who the best offense in the league has been so far?
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Miami Heat?
No. No, surprisingly, Philly? No. You would think Philly. Philly is the best offense in the league. And look, we're going to talk Sixers here, and it's not centered around 2-5 and whatever he's doing out there. I don't want to talk about. I want to talk about what's happening on the court, because Joel Embiid has not been that good. He's had some games, but he hasn't been like this
you
dominant
know who has
dude.
Been good?
Who?
Seth Curry.
Seth Curry is shooting the fucking lights out, Trey. Like, the lights out. He's shooting 60% from the field, 50% from three. Like, he has been a revelation for them in whatever this offense has been, you know, kind of centered around Embiid, but not asking Embiid to do it. And, like, he is reaping the benefits, Trey.
Paid a man. Reconstruct that contract right now.
Oh, my God.
He's the second best player on the Sixers, doing what he's supposed to do. Even Yang stepped up. Like, I mean, they only had seven guys and came up big. I mean, I don't love that for the Bulls. But when you look at it, this is their year, man. Like, not even like on like a win it all type thing, but like it's working in their favor and they're starting to figure things out without 2-5. So it's interesting how they move about this. You know what I mean? But they like, you know, playing basketball together at this point. You know what I mean? And I think Doc has kind of figured it out to get his guys motivated and lock in despite outside noise.
And I think I think this early success, you know, they had a great week, right? Like they take down the Blazers, who are kind of in the middle there. They beat the Bulls twice. Sorry, Trey, but they beat the Bulls twice. And then they beat the Pistons. Everybody beats the Pistons right now. But those are three quality wins with two real quality wins against the Bulls. And it does afford them, like, there is no real panic other than not wanting to deal with the situation anymore. There is no like, oh God, we got to get this, you know, this 2-5 situation settled, and you know, and then we can move on. Like, Mo, if this is what it looks like for them without him on the court, anybody they bring in a potential trade, yeah, there's going to be an adjustment period, but this is kind of like, it's going to just kind of be gravy for them.
Yeah, everything you said is right. There's no rush to it. And just when it's not just Seth Curry who's lighting it up, you know, they have four guys shooting above 40% from three, with the fewest attempts being 4.6 from Danny Green. Joel Embiid's just under 40% at 39.4. Like, they're shooting the lights out of the ball. They're getting good passing. They're getting good playmaking from Tyrese Maxey in his second year. They're getting stuff like I wasn't fully expecting them to have at the start of this season. And again, as long as they keep winning, it's like they don't need to even rush this situation with Simmons and try to find a trade. They'll just, hey, let's just wait till other teams start panicking, because we're not a team that's panicking. Portland lost to them without Joel Embiid or Tobias Harris on the court. Like, you know, that's a big win for Philly right there, for just those guys, and a big boost for that team going like, yo, we can play.
I am, Marcus, I am worried about Embiid, though, because he's been dealing with knee soreness all season long. They say it's not a big thing, but I think if you are going to try to get him over this, now would be the time. I do think he should rest sooner rather than later, maybe give him a week off or whatever that might take. You might drop a couple of games here, although Seth Curry's lead. I mean, he's playing a lot better than Steph is. If you ask me, Marcus, maybe he's the real golden one at this point. Maybe that's a fourth book for you.
The platinum. That's what we're going to call it. Platinum. And then come with platinum, like a paragraph after that, right? Like, come with some kind of like major hecka long sentence after it. I actually think last year's playoff, two things are happening. Last year's playoffs were huge. I think that Seth like saw how he could be like a playmaker for this team and a little bit more than just a spot up shooter. But I also feel like, man, Doc thrives on this stuff, right? You bring some chaos to Doc Rivers, he's gonna make it happen. Like, he lives for this stuff. Lower expectations and bring some drama, and Doc Rivers is gonna work magic. This is his calling as an NBA coach, I think.
Let me tell you, Doc Rivers lied out of his ass this weekend when he won his 1,000th coaching victory, right?
1,000 in Chicago, by the way.
In Chicago, and he's like, oh, I didn't know. I had no idea until after the game. Like, get the fuck out of here. Doc, everyone's telling you before, hey, good luck tonight. 1,000th coming your way. Like, people are telling you that. People are texting you that. PR is telling you. You know, some stats guy for the Sixers is telling you. You cannot tell me. You could not convince me Doc Rivers didn't know that 1,000th victory was on the line.
Because being humble, people eat that up.
It's faux humble, though. You know, how does anyone buy that?
But you know what I'm about to say?
What?
And it's my motto moving forward. Fuck being humble. It gets you nowhere.
Yes.
It gets you nowhere. It gets you nowhere,
know what
though.
I hate, Trey? Act like you've been there before. Fuck that. Act like you haven't been there before and you're never going to get back. So you're going to soak in every single second of that moment.
Yep. Because every time when they do the whole retirement speech or they're finally about to call it quits, I wish I would have.
Right. Right.
Lock in, dog. You score 30, you score 50. Pour the champagne on yourself. I want to see it. Go all in, bro.
Between go quarters. All in. You have a 16-point quarter. Just pour champagne on yourself during the timeout. Absolutely. Let's celebrate everything. That's what I want. I want to celebrate everything. Something we're not celebrating, the Lakers. Unless you hate the Lakers, then this looks great for you. If you hate the Lakers, you're all in on this. You're celebrating left and right. But man, without LeBron James on the court, this team is not good. They blew 45 points worth of leads to the Thunder already this season in two games without LeBron and lost both games. 26-point lead and a 19-point lead. And then, I don't know, Anthony Davis had bubble guts or something Saturday night. He only played like 7 or 8 minutes. He left, and then it was just Russ against the Blazers. And it's not that they lost. It's that he was 1 of 13, right? And so I get it. Like, Russ gets probably overly scrutinized and overly criticized on the internet, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I get it, though, if he's tired of that, or some Lakers fans are now tired of it, or whatever, any Russ supporters are tired of it, I get it. But the way that team looks without LeBron, I don't think it's a Russ problem. We saw it with Anthony Davis. Like, I think it's Marcus, I think it's a LeBron problem, where that team is so used, any team with him is so used to him meticulously crafting everything that's on the floor throughout a game, that when that's taken away, I do think there's a little bit of like, oh shit, now what do we do? It's not just playing basketball anymore. Like, I think it's like, it's a legitimate, like, oh no, we've got to do all this stuff now.
I think that's why this is such a big problem. You know, Russ, he wasn't good on the opening night, but remember he had a good game after that, and everybody was like, see, this is how it's going to work, right? And that's why he's here for games like last night. That's why he's here.
Yeah.
So LeBron can be easy, and you got another, like, MVP caliber player, allegedly, who can carry the ship, who can go eat innings and build up numbers. So if he isn't doing this, I know, right? If he isn't doing this, then you got to wonder, what is he going to do? Like, how does he help this team? Because the concern that I had, like, was like, yeah, Russ is going to do his job. And, like, when LeBron is out or AD is out and they just need him to take over, Russ going to do his thing. He's going to get 20, 20, and 11, and they'll win a game, right? And he'll get to carry that. And then they'll worry about what happens in the playoffs when they all need to be on the court together. Like, that's an issue to put down the line, because he's just not that good off the ball. He can't shoot. So his value with LeBron seems limited. But at least he'll get LeBron fresh and healthy to the playoffs, right?
Right.
But at this rate, they might be a playing team if LeBron don't hurry up and get back. So that, it's like, then if he doesn't do this part, I don't know what he does for them, because it certainly ain't hit the, you know, spread the floor for LeBron. He ain't going to be a floor spacer. So if this is what he should be able to do, and then he goes to Portland and gets owned by, where's Damian Lillard from again? I forgot. Where's he from?
He went to Weber State, right?
Look, ouch. I would love to hear that shout out, Marcus, but I ain't rolling. He been stinky too. He been really stinky. I don't want it. I don't want to hear Wilson Ball.
He was stinky against Russ, though.
He woke up a meaningful game. I don't hear nothing about no Wilson Ball. I don't hear Nate Jones. I don't hear none of that.
Look, Nate? No.
Nah, because Nate my man. Nate my man. But, you know, I'm cool. I'm off that. They out here stinking it up. But, yes, Russ, I seen something talking about, oh, Russ needs to adjust to the environment. He needs to adjust. No, he's from Los Angeles, California. He knows what he signed up for. He's been trying to be a Laker most of his career. He's here now. He doesn't like the media asking questions. He still wants to be a dick towards them. No, it don't work like that when you play for the show. It's either the Knicks or the Lakers, and you're going to get that. You're going to get that attention that comes with it. You shooting 1 for 13? Ain't going to happen, bro. You shooting these mid-range jumpers. And even when he plays a solid game, think about that turnover where he drove and the ball went out of bounds. He basically erased that whole good game he had. And he was scratching his face, and Melo's just sitting there. And there's zero accountability, because these dudes are friends off the court and don't hold each other accountable. So it just trickles down to be some bad stuff. And then obviously, you know, the jokes of LeBron being the GM and he's looking to trade guys. That's real. It's not him being a GM, but he's definitely putting pressure on management. Like, look, if things don't shake up by February, I need the best guys out there to make me win. You know what I mean? Like, because this ain't it. This is really not it, dude. And like, I understand Russ is passionate. He really wants to do well in Los Angeles. But you got to play good basketball when you're playing with LeBron James. And both of these dudes don't move without the ball. They both need the ball. Russ is not going to automatically start cutting. You know what I mean? He's not going to automatically start shooting the ball from the mid-range. Yeah,
well, you got to craft that, man.
He's not, like the he's Lakers not changing don't, his the Laker, game after 10 years.
Oh, and Laker fans don't care about a triple-double. If you're not winning, like, they've been so spoiled with championships and making the playoffs, it doesn't matter anymore. No disrespect to the Wizards fan base, but they were happy they made the play-in and got into the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Lakers, it's ring or bust. They do not want to hear none of that stuff. And they are turning their head saying, oh, Westbrook should come off the bench. Rondo should start. Oh, we need to trade him. Oh, we should have traded for Buddy Hield. It is starting to get louder, and he's starting to hear it because he's from Los Angeles and more people. It's very rare that somebody's going to come in and say, Russ, you know what? It's going to get better. LeBron can keep telling him to go home and watch a comedy if he wants to, but if they get any close to playing, oh, it's going to be hell.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough.
You brought it up. The worst part for Laker fans is then seeing Buddy Hield shooting 41.7% from three on 10 attempts. You know, it's just like,
yeah, he's firing, man.
maybe we made a mistake.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's just it's the bright lights, right? Like, oh, star name, let's go get that. And I do think, I don't think the reasoning was flawed in the sense that, like, hey, this allows AD to maybe take some time off. This allows LeBron to maybe take some time off, and they don't have to, you know, kill themselves throughout. And if you, and as we learned from Brooklyn last year, if you have three of those guys, it means you always have one of those guys. Except that's not how it looks so far. It's not working out that way so far. And the worse it looks in situations like Saturday night or the two times against the Thunder, I think when LeBron's there, I don't really have a whole lot of worries about them being one of the better teams in the league. But it's like LeBron's still at the stage of like, it's not, oh, let's just see if you're good. It's championships or bust. That's just the standard LeBron has. Even in, you know, year 45 that he ends up playing, it's still going to be championship or bust as long as he's in shape and he's healthy. So he's got to get healthy. Otherwise, that's just going to get real ugly.
Which, it's going to be uncomfortable. Does LeBron like what is, you think is better for him, that everybody clearly sees he's still like the man and is unmatchable and they can't win without him, or is he pissed because he probably should have got Buddy Hield?
I think he's pissed.
Yeah, I think he's mad
because he's past this now of like, I'm the man, or this part of the conversation at this point. I think
I wouldn't say he's past it. I don't know about that.
I feel he is, to the point at least where he's just realizing,
go,
like,
go tweet him Washed King then. Go tweet him Washed King and then let me know
I
how
ain't
that goes
tweeting
over.
Him for this whole thing. I'm not trying to cause that stuff, Zach. Always trying to cause drama. No, but like when you're just looking at it going like, they had a deal on the table for Buddy Hield and he turned around and said, no, we want Russ. Like he screwed the pooch. Now he'll never take the blame for that, but I mean, he's got to be kind of more pissed about not making the right decision there in that instance, although he'll never fully admit he made the mistake.
There's still time to fix it. I just fear that fix is like, well, I guess we can trade him for John Wall. I don't know if that's going to work out. I don't think that's going to work. All right. Before we go, I want, you know, we're 3 weeks into the season at this point. Not quite at that point in the season where you can feel like, yes, this is 100%, you know, what to expect from a team. That usually happens about 20 games in. We're about 10 games in for most teams. But Mo, I want to know, good or bad, who's a surprise team for you so far?
I'm going to end this on a positive note. I'm going the Washington Wizards.
Yeah. They're fun, man.
They're a lot of fun. They're playing defense. They've got wins over the Celtics twice, one in double overtime, a nice win over Atlanta. You know, like, this is a fun team, 6-3, got a nice point differential. Everybody's kind of rolling. And I don't even feel like Bradley Beal has fully even gone off yet. Like, they're fun to watch. They play hard. Montrezl Harrell's playing defense. Like, I'm impressed with his defense in some of these games. Overall, man, like, this is just a fun team to watch. That's my surprise team.
Trey, what about you? What's a surprise team, good or bad? Uh-oh, we lose Trey. You're muted. Still muted. Did we lose
doesn't
Trey?
Doesn't believe in any surprise teams.
Oh, I muted myself on accident. I thought I was unmuting. But my surprise team is the Warriors.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, because I didn't expect that hot start that they had.
Marcus, sure. what about you? You're also muted.
Nobody can work the mute button on the pod today.
Marcus, you're still muted.
My bad. Yeah, I was
Jay,
gone,
keep
too.
All this in.
Trey stole my answer. I was going
to
say the Warriors.
No, you don't get to pick the Warriors.
I do get to pick the Warriors. Just another opportunity to rave about my Jordan Poole and my Gary Payton the second prediction. So
Jordan Poole's he's been good for two games, okay? He's had two games.
He's been good for three out of the seven, man. You got to learn some respect.
They played eight games. What are you talking about?
Four out of the eight, at least half the games.
There's no way.
At least half the games.
Absolutely not.
And keep in mind, it's not like Steph's been tearing it up either. So the games he's been good in has been pretty important. All right, I'm gonna go with my surprise team. I thought Phoenix would be better. I figured they would be in the Jazz like or Warrior spot. Like, they'd be hot coming off the West Finals. And even before the whole Sarver drama, right? They were still kind of scuffling. It feels like they're gaining their feet now. But I'll tell you who I'm not surprised about, Zach. I'm not surprised about the Chicago Bulls, who I told you would be at in the top of the Eastern Conference. Guess where they are right now? Number three in the East. Mm-hmm. 6-3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember listening to you, Trey, say that on Buzz and thinking, oh, yeah, Zach discredited my Bulls pick, and then he went after you. He's killing you for bringing up the Bulls and the greatness of the Bulls. So, Zach, at some point, you're going to have to acknowledge the fact that you were wrong about these DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, Chicago Bulls.
Their next eight games, home to the Nets, home to the Mavs, at Warriors, at Clippers, at Lakers, at Blazers, at Nuggets, home to the Knicks. We'll see.
It's hard to also tout the Bulls when they've lost two straight to Philly. Not fully
good
healthy.
Team they played, yes.
You know, like, they didn't have, hey man, they didn't have the D-Stival in Philly, that though. Game. They didn't.
Everybody loses to Philly, though, in fairness.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you're touting it and pumping your pounding your chest and all that. Like, you know.
Hey, it's a good team they lost to.
They had seven guys in the last game.
They've beaten the Jazz, and they've beaten Boston, and they
Boston's not
almost
good.
Beat
Boston
the Knicks.
Sucks.
Yeah, that was a reach. That was definitely a reach.
Just trying to slip that one past.
I can just see you scrolling through the schedule, going like, "Ooh, Boston, they're normally good." Let's go.
Yeah, that's literally what happened right there. That is exactly how it went down right there. Just like, oh, look at these teams they beat. Oh, Toronto. Oh no. They did beat Toronto. But I'm just saying, Philly's good. There's no shame in losing to Philly. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's a good team.
Yeah.
Without half their guys, okay.
It's not a surprise to me, but it's been a surprise to everybody else. I tried to tell y'all the Toronto Raptors were for real. I tried to tell you the Toronto Raptors are a good team, even until Pascal Siakam comes back, which looks like...
You mean
like,
the Raptors who lost to the Bulls, right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, without their best player. without their best player. Here's the thing. The Raptors switching everything, still got a bunch of young dudes figuring things out, and they're winning games. Ran five straight. Five straight. And here's the best part about this. It's not
Siakam's
that Pascal
playing a five.
It's not that Pascal Siakam hasn't been there yet. They haven't even utilized their secret weapon. Malachi Flynn, San Diego State legend, point god of the Aztecs. That's right. At some point, they're going to unlock the door. And Malachi Flynn's going to come in, and he's going to wreck these fools. He is the secret weapon. We got him. We got OG. We got Scottie Barnes, Precious Achiuwa, Fred VanVleet starting to get going. Gary Trent Jr.'s locking people up left and right. This Raptors team is legit. I want some respect on their names, Marcus. I don't want you to start, you know, dismissing what they've done. I want respect for the Raptors. We the North,
Zach,
baby.
Zach, the North is starting today. VanVleet, Trent, Barnes, Siakam, and Abdunobi. And Pascal starting at the five. So let's see what this lineup's looking like.
Hey, let's see what happens when they bring Malachi Flynn off the bench. I'm telling you, Aztec legend.
Is he going to get any minutes off the bench?
What?
Is he going to get minutes off the bench?
Well, he hasn't so far because they haven't needed him yet. They're just like, you know what? We can survive. And at some point, it's like the Princess Bride, right? He's like, oh, by the way, I'm not left-handed. Switches that sword to the right. Starts making fools regret that they're fighting. Mm-hmm. That's what Malachi Flynn is. It's him saying, hey, by the way, we're not left-handed. Boom.
Okay. I'm in on the Raptors, though.
Flynn sanity, baby.
But I'm not all
just
in on
get
this
ready
Malachi
for Flynn,
Flynn
sanity. That's right. Ooh, that's going to do it. For this edition of Basket Buds on the Athletic Podcast Show on the Athletic Podcast Network, make sure you subscribe to the Athletic. Make sure you're checking out Mo. Plug your Twitch stream; it's really good. A lot of information for hoop heads that want to know more about the game.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. I run through basically a whole bunch of games, end of game stuff, what the rookies are looking like, go into deep dives. Twitch.tv/ MODAKHIL_NBA. Come check it out.
There you go. Make sure you're checking out all Marcus's work. Make sure you're buying every single book because he's not going to send it to you. So you got to go buy the book. And the latest one, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. Make sure you're checking that in stores. Make sure you're checking out all the podcasts.
Hey, I got
on
your
the
addresses,
Athletic.
Fellas. Thanks a lot. I got your address, Mo. I got it.
You need mine again? You need mine again? I only got half the trunk full of these books. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic. Make sure you're checking out No Dunks, all the team-specific shows. You got the Daily Ding every single morning on your Athletic NBA show feed. Make sure you're checking out all that and keep it locked in on the Athletic.
Yeah, that's the neat part. And honestly, I had no idea that I was at 999. I don't count. That's not why I do it. Tonight is why you coach when you're just piecing them in it together and the guys are pulling.